Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And the fourth pick in the 2015 NBA draft goes to the New York Knicks.
Which means that the Los Angeles Lakers have moved into the top three. The Minnesota Timberwolves and owner Glenn Taylor looking for their first ever number one selection.
The third pick in this year's draft goes to the Philadelphia 76ers. The second pick will be made by the Los Angeles Lakers. And that means that the number one pick in the 2015 NBA draft goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Hold on, hold on. I got something special for this. Hold on.
I'm popping bottles in the club. That's what winners do.
Yeah, we're back. It's One and Done. Oh, hold on. This is how rusty I am. I just don't even have your microphone on. You can talk now, Marcus. I'm like, Ryan actually just showed up. Everybody is just walking in the building. And we're here.
I'm just happy to be here. Dancing.
Oh, yeah, we're here, baby.
Okay, are you there? Are you there, too? Are you there? Let me hear you.
I'm just dancing.
You're just... Okay, there's your mic. I got you now.
It's good to be back.
We, of course, have to talk draft talk. I'll be honest. So, on Wednesday, whenever the lottery was, I'm sitting in front of my TV. Zero battery cell life. Like, zero battery cell. I've got the TV on the entertainment stand, right? So, I'm sitting there with the TV, with the phone plugged into the outlet that's right underneath the TV. And as they get to four, and the Knicks are four, I'm just, like, losing my mind. Losing my mind. Because you know me. I'm a Lakers fan, too. So us moving up is a
good thing. You're a Lakers fan with the New York Knicks jersey on right now.
Well, I got to rep. This is my Oakley jersey. I'm feeling Oakley-ish today because, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day, by the way. And if you're going to a barbecue, as Oakley would say, you don't bring eggs to a barbecue. You just don't. You don't bring eggs to a barbecue. So we get to two, and the Lakers are called. And I'm losing my mind, right? I'm sitting there on Twitter. I can't even, like...
Did you notice Glenn Taylor? He had no response whatsoever.
He didn't...
he was like, we could still lose this pick here.
I mean, it was like he was already trying to figure out ways to screw it up.
Well, I think he was trying to figure out ways in his mind not to give away what their pick would be.
I'm thinking...
He did a pretty good job with that.
I'm thinking... And what he says, and that means the number one pick goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm thinking, did he just say the Minnesota Timberwolves? Did he just say the Minnesota Timberwolves have the number one pick in the NBA draft? How long have we been a bottom dweller, like a cellar dweller? And we finally, for the first time in history, have the number one pick in the draft. And all year long, what have we been saying? This is a two-man draft. We've been talking about Okafor. And now the question comes. I mean, we're going to talk finals. We're going to talk EYBL is in town. Ryan is actually here. You've got bronchitis?
I got bronchitis. So if I'm coughing a little bit in the background.
That little button over there is your cough button.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the background. I'm okay. I just sound horrible.
we're going to get all of that in. But
tank for Towns.
But are we playing like... Shazingus for Porzingis?
Oh, that's over. We can get past that now.
It's over, right? It's like, over. We actually have the number one pick in the draft.
Just watch Porzingis be the best player in this draft.
Hey, he might be. They went and watched him over in, where's he from? Bosnia?
Latvia.
Latvia.
Oh, my God. No. No, not a chance. Not a chance. It's Towns or Okafor, and that's the poll question today. I forgot to tweet it. I haven't tweeted it yet, but you can respond to us on Twitter. It's at oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done. You can hit us up on the ticket lines. I think the phones are working around here. It's been a while since we've been in studio. We'll talk about all the podcast stuff and where we're supposed to be, where we're going to be, and all of that. But if you want to get to us with the poll question, 651-989-9105 or on Twitter at oneanddone105. Who are we taking? Who are we taking with the number one pick in the NBA draft? I am going to start with you, Marcus.
There's no question in my mind that it's Karl Towns. I think that for sure... you know, I really do think that the Wolves right now might be in favor of Okafor.
I agree.
But at the same time,
that's the feeling, right? Like, that's the feeling that everybody's getting is like Flip's kind of enamored with Okafor.
Well, you know, I think the offensive side of it, I mean, this is a kid who can come in and give you 17-8 a game right away, you know, and possibly 20-10 in his second year. But at the same time, you know, when you're looking at defense, I mean, who's he going to guard? I mean, this is a guy that might not be a better defender than Pekovic right now.
Right.
And if you look at his upside, sure, he has a 7'5" wingspan. You know, can he get better defensively? Sure. But we're talking about a player in Towns who could lead the league in blocks, you know, in his rookie season.
Yeah.
You know, he's a better free throw shooter.
Which,
he's a better shooter overall. I mean, you
more
know.
More than four blocks every 40 minutes or something he averaged.
If you look at the NBA playoffs this year, you know, so many, you know, Hacka Howard.
Oh, my God.
How brutal.
How brutal has DeAndre Jordan I mean, and Dwight Howard shoot free throws has been like, it's time I'll never get back in my life.
It's something
I feel like
that's
it's
not
so
going to go
horrible.
Away. You know, the NBA, they're not
going to. No, you can't change the rule.
They're not going to change the rule. And you're going to have a guy like Okafor who's going to put you in a situation down the stretch in games. You're going to have to take him off the court. He'll lose you some games from the free throw line.
So we're not drafting a player because he can't shoot free throws?
No, that's
really?
That's part of it. It's part of it. You know, you're talking about a guy that his upside is on the offensive side, but he can't shoot free throws. You know, it's huge. I mean, is he going to be a Shaquille O'Neal? Probably not. So this is a guy who, you know, to me, he has to make strides on defense in order for him to be worth the pick down the road. And I'm not saying that the Timberwolves guaranteed are going to pick Okafor. All I'm saying is, in my opinion, I think Towns would be the better pick. He has a huge upside. I mean, both offensive and defensively, this is a guy who, to me, can be just as good as Okafor. In the long run, on offense, you know, you got to give him a few years. But on the defensive side, he's going
to
give you a rim protector right now.
He's ready to play.
You know, I look at it like I think if you had Towns and you had Pekovic, those guys will give you a couple different things, and you could. I don't know if they could play together much, but you could work with them together. Okafor and Peck. I don't know. That's a lot of big, non-moving much up front.
That's a slow trudging front line.
But, you know, the way that Flip has talked about needing somebody to enter the ball into, a threat.
But don't they already get – they get a lot of post scoring from Andrew Wiggins. Which, I mean, don't, I'm not saying –
not the type of post scoring they want that they're thinking about, though. They want to be able to get the ball into a guy who's got his back to the basket. And that's more Okafor. But Towns is that defensive presence. Like, think of what he can do on D and what he can do for the team getting them up the floor. And I don't know that Okafor can do that. So that's what they're weighing. But how about the curveball? Now, I don't know much about baseball. Is Jack Morris throw a good curveball? I don't know.
Curveball, sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I love D'Angelo Russell. Like, how fun would he be? Do they need him? I don't know. But how fun would he be? Or what if – is there – one of these guys going to take a nasty step forward in the next month? Is Emmanuel Mudiay going to be a guy that goes for, comes up? You know, who knows? That's your curveball.
That's too big of a curveball.
Well, can they get a trade? Can we get something in
the
trade?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
if you're not going to pick one of the top two bigs, you need to trade down.
Let's address that in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know yet if I'm not totally convinced that Okafor isn't the guy. Because I get what you're saying about Towns. I agree. I even think that him and Peck can play together a little bit. I would be interested to see that. I think that would accelerate the pace of play and still give you the low post scoring that they're looking for. But I think Okafor has, I mean, what the comparisons that are being made to Tim Duncan in my mind aren't far off.
For Okafor?
For what he does offensively, for what he does on the block.
Al Jefferson.
To me, the only reason why, you know, when you talk about D'Angelo Russell and maybe, you know, even Justice Winslow, Mudiay, I mean, these are guys that right now their projection. You're talking about, you know, some of the best players in the NBA. You know, I mean, John Wall you know, John Wall from Mudiay and, you know, Russell, who's he compared to? I mean, we're talking about all-stars here. And you know, Al Jefferson right now. I mean, if Al Jefferson was in his prime right now and you compared, you know, Okafor to Al Jefferson, people would be enamored by that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're talking about an Al Jefferson right now who's, you know, at the tail end of his career or at least going downhill. And obviously the Wolves let him go. And people are thinking, okay, why would we want another Al Jefferson? Even as a younger version of Al Jefferson. You know, it just doesn't do it for me.
Al Jefferson's Archie Manning of the modern NBA. Like, he never got to play on that good a team with anybody. Well, he was a good player.
And let's be honest, the style of play has changed. You aren't, I mean, look at the final four teams that we've got here in the race to the finals. I mean, Al Horford is the guy. I mean, that Hawks team who got obliterated last night, I mean, it ended up being an 11-point game, but it was a 20-point game for most of the thing.
Leave it to the Wolves to get the number one pick the year that there's no LeBron James, right?
Yeah, right. But
or
I mean,
Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, man, 92. That's my thought. When we got the number one pick, I was like, I thought back to 92 and I was crying on the steps when we couldn't get Shaquille O'Neal.
That was so sad.
That's what I thought.
That was so sad. The Timberwolves deserved Shaq. But we're never going to get him. We're never going to keep him. But now I think with these guys, I think both of these guys with, I mean, you know, Towns has said, I'm from New Jersey, or, you know, we're not scared of the cold weather. I mean, Tyus was sitting there right next to Jahlil at the lottery. I think with their ties to Minnesota, it's not going to be much of an issue about maintaining those guys. You know how the cough button works over there, right?
Yep.
You're all right? All right, cool. Bronchitis, 'tis the season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've got, again, I think Okafor has just, I mean, what he does, the way he scores, the way he goes about it, it's that part of the game you don't see. I mean, it makes it hard. It makes it challenging to just say, you know what, this is a dude that, I mean, it's like Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say it's Bowie over Jordan, but it's like, this other guy, pretty dope.
It's hard to compare it that way. I mean, I think we're talking about, you know, we're talking about two big men here. So, you know, if you look at, you know, you're talking about DeAndre Jordan, you know, that kind of center, a defensive presence, you know, in Karl Towns, you know, and really
cool with that. You know, but he can stroke.
But he can score. I mean, he can shoot.
There was, you know? I saw so a YouTube that, video of him
he's
and
not
Wiggins.
That level athlete is not that level of an athlete.
No.
But you're talking about a defensive presence to that effect. And, you know, Okafor, I think, you know, comparing him to Al Jefferson, I don't think that does him justice.
I think that's, you know, like his floor, not his ceiling.
No, it can't be a floor. It's the NBA. I mean, Al Jefferson's a heck of a player. You're playing
Yes, and I think Okafor is going to. You don't think Okafor is going to be a good player?
I think he's a good player. That's why I said Al Jefferson.
But that's his ceiling?
I didn't say the ceiling. That's just what I think is going to average out.
That's one of the main reasons
why. I keep a level head here, man. I'm not going to come out here and say he's Hakeem. He's Shaq. That's insane.
Where was Al Jefferson picked in the draft?
Oh, I don't know. I think I want to say fifth. Is that right?
Well, I mean, he wasn't number one.
No.
But he would have never been number one. You know, I think that's why a lot of people are not convinced that he should be the number one pick, because his ceiling is not through the roof. You know, I mean,
Anthony Towns, we're thinking who?
Well, to me, it's hard to peg him in a spot.
Don't be Ryan. Don't be Ryan. I want you to be dynamic and give me some gusto with this comparison.
Well,
Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol was the first team all NBA center this year.
He's the best big man in the league.
Right. And Karl Towns has that ability because he can shoot the ball, stretch the floor. Okay, he's a good passer. I think he's a better defender than Gasol, actually, protecting the rim. Gasol might be a better overall defender.
Okay, but blocking shots.
Right, but I think, you know, Karl Towns has that potential. And if you look at the two big men, I mean, I think that just the fact that Karl Towns has improved every year. I mean, if you look at Okafor, he looks like the same player in a sense that he was in high school. His sophomore year, junior year in high school, he was a similar player that he is now. I mean, I think that he's worked on his conditioning a little bit. You know, he can move a little better with his body. He's actually seems a little bit more athletic than he used to be, and I give him credit for that. But at the same time, Karl Towns, you know, from his junior year till now, every year you've seen him grow physically. You've seen him grow skill-wise. You've seen him, you know, at the end of the Kentucky season, all of a sudden he's a go-to player. He might have been the best big man in the NCAA tournament outside of, you know, obviously Frank Kaminsky.
He can stroke.
At the end of the tournament.
He can stroke.
And even Kaminsky couldn't hold him, you know. And Kaminsky's not the best defender in the world, but at the same time, those guys were going at it.
He's not.
They were going at it. I mean, I actually enjoyed watching those two big guys play.
2013, it's on YouTube. I don't know what camp it was, but it's Wiggins and Towns shooting threes. Well, they're shooting from the sideline, from the hash mark. Towns beats him. And they shot like four or five shots in a row before somebody missed. Before one of them missed, and Wiggins was the first one
to
miss.
Actually, you know, he could actually play some power forward too. You could put him in a
That's
lineup
what
with
I'm
Pekovic.
Saying. That's why
in a lineup with Pekovic.
It makes so much more
who
sense.
Who did you say? I'm over here looking at the computer. Who could play with Pekovic?
Towns.
Oh, totally agree. That's why I said that earlier. That's why I think he will work better, because you could play them together, or they give you different things, where I don't know that Peck and Okafor really give you that much of a different player. Back to Al Jefferson, he was the 15th pick in the draft.
But there you go.
He came out of high school, though.
Right.
Completely different thing.
Well, we're talking about 1 year, though.
It's a big 1 year.
651-989-9105. We would love to hear your opinions on our poll question. Towns or Okafor? You can also tweet us. It's at 1&Done105. You were talking about some of the other guys, some of the other options. We're going to discuss who else is available outside of Towns and Okafor, and maybe whether or not the Wolves should go for Tyus Jones. Next on 1&Done, it's 105 The Ticket.
Back to 1&Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
With the sixth pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from Syracuse University.
Well, the crowd loves it, not because Johnny Flynn is the guy that they love from Minnesota, but because Stephen Curry is still available.
With the seventh pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Golden State Warriors select Stephen Curry from Davidson College.
So it's my honor and my pleasure to present you Steph Curry with the 2014-15 MVP award.
Yeah, we know how that turned out for us. Special edition of 1&Done on 105 The Ticket. We were discussing Towns and Okafor a second ago. Who else is available? How else, I'm wondering, can we find a way to just muck this up?
Well, if you look at D'Angelo Russell, I mean, he's been a favorite of mine. You know, watching him in the Big Ten this year, he's arguably the best player in the Big Ten. You know, Frank Kaminsky, was the man. But D'Angelo Russell was so exciting coming in as a freshman, being able to lead the Buckeyes, you know, from the start, from the point guard position. But he's also an adept scorer. And, you know, he's just got an understanding of the game that's so far advanced for his age. And you just feel like the same with Towns, is that his upside, you know, who knows how good he can be. I mean, can he be a Russell Westbrook? Maybe he's not that athletic. Can he be a Steph Curry? He's not that kind of range, but he does have some range. I mean, this is a kid that right now, you know, he could get into a system like the Wolves and play the off-guard position, in a heartbeat, and make that transition to point guard in the future if you did want to give up Rubio. And that's, you know, if that was the case, if you could see him and LaVine playing together, in the future, I mean, that's a nice backcourt.
I like when they have the comparison of Brandon Roy, and I like, but remember how good Brandon Roy was when he was healthy?
Yeah.
You know, he's like a Brandon Roy that's so vocal and with handles. Oh, I like that comparison. That'd be a heck of a player.
Bleacher Report has Ginobili, which I like a lot.
Oh, you got it.
Isn't that a good
who
one?
Who doesn't love Ginobili?
I mean,
that's tough. He's not a European type of player.
No, but he's a crafty lefty.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that's
kind of,
I mean, they even quote him in here. I studied Manu Ginobili.
Right.
And I kind of dig that. If my ceiling for any guy is Ginobili, hey.
Oh, I love Ginobili.
Hey.
I mean, you don't win you don't win the championships without Ginobili. But at the same time, I just see him more of a floor leader, more of a point guard in the future. Yeah. He needs to have the ball in his hand a lot more.
He's not going to score like he does now right away. It's going to take him a while.
No, he'll score. No, he'll be a double-digit scorer his rookie year.
I think he will.
Yeah, he will. No doubt.
Like 10, 11 points. I don't know about no 18, 19.
He's not getting drafted by the Spurs. He's going to get drafted by like a
team that needs him to play right away.
He'll go to Philly. If he's going three, like most people have him going three, going to Philly. I mean, and
he'll get numbers there.
He'll score, but they got Embiid. They got Nerlens Noel. I mean, Embiid more so is going, that's somebody that they want to get the rock to, but not so much Nerlens. I mean, he's more of a defensive guy, but he's going to need to, I mean, he's got to develop too. That's kind of a situation where everybody's learning on the job. Whereas if he were to come to Minnesota, and play behind Ricky Rubio and move Zach LaVine, because I don't want Zach handling the ball. I just don't. I'm okay with D'Angelo Russell being my
second
unit.
Toward the end of the season, Zach was showing some skills as a two guard. And I think
to the tune of like six turnovers.
D'Angelo Russell is getting 15 a game next year.
15
down.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
I like it.
Maybe even
write it down right now.
Now the thing about Emmanuel Mudiay, I've seen that dude play, and I've been blown away by how good he was. Blown away.
His athleticism and
35
speed.
Points against a big time team in Fab 48. Then I watched him play against Rashad's team, that makeshift team Rashad threw together
Rashad
two
Bond,
summers ago.
Yeah.
Like Rashad's odds, Pete Caffey's All Stars, that team, and like he had like 4 points because he just didn't care. Like, all these people watching, all these coaches, and he didn't care to do anything. So I don't. It's tough to get a read on him from what my experience is. So you go watch a guy play and you watch him score 4 points because he didn't care enough to try. That leaves a bad taste. DeMarcus Cousins. I'll never forget DeMarcus Cousins dropping 3 F-bombs in the referee's face and the ref running away from him and not doing anything.
I'd run away from that dude too.
I can never forget that out of my mind. I thought he was going to body slam that ref and he didn't even get a technical foul.
I'd be intimidated to interview that dude.
Would you be scared?
I'd need a bodyguard to interview him. But
would you be scared if the Wolves moved some pieces, traded a pick to get Boogie Cousins?
I wouldn't want him in Minnesota. No, I think that this is a guy that, you know, especially in a
because you don't want him to corrupt the kids. Is yeah, what are you doing? That's what you can't
with
want.
With Kevin Garnett, and,
that's enough.
And Boogie
KG
Cousins.
Is enough. Yeah. KG, we can't get you sweared at by mom and dad. Dad's okay, but mom's got to be a good guy.
You imagine the fans are coming in and KG's working out DeMarcus Cousins? Like, you'd seriously have to like give everyone your plugs.
There's fist fighting between KG and Boogie.
But that's one thing that we haven't talked about yet is the fact that, you know, KG, you know, he's committed to playing another year. And, you know, that's huge for these two big guys that are coming in, you know. And I think both of them, one time or another, have talked about the fact that, you know, if they were to come to Minnesota, they, you know, they'd love to, you know, be mentored by KG. And, you know, Jahlil Okafor is a guy, you know, I don't want to say that if the Wolves pick him, you know, that I'd be hugely disappointed, you know. I think that he is a guy that right away, I mean, physically, there aren't too many big guys in the league that could handle him, you know. And you know, offensively, you know, if we're saying that, you know, D'Angelo Russell can come in and score 15 points a game, you know, what's the ceiling for Okafor? I mean, you know, we're talking about a league that does not have too many, you know, big men that can handle his size in the paint.
I think he's going – Flip wants to get him touches. So as long as his low post game is on, he gets those. He gets the free throw line. Let's not forget the Rubio dump-offs, the Wiggins dump-offs.
Well, what was the best season that Pekovic had here? I mean, about 16, 17 a game, something like that when he was healthy. You know, I mean
– Yeah, there's the caveat.
We're not talking about Kevin Love numbers, but
– What was his injury this year? Like –
Ankle
was it ever
back,
diagnosed?
Heart. I think he got no heart.
I think it was Tank for Towns injury. That's what it was.
Yeah,
it was strange.
But you know, you look past, you know, the Moutier. You look past Russell, Porzingis. You know, he's a guy that physically he's going to struggle right away in the NBA just because of his body. But 7'1", and he could play the power forward position. Shoots the ball very well. Really athletic. I mean, you know, you look at the ceiling for some of these European players now, and you know, it's a lot higher than it used to be for some of these forwards. I mean, Bargnani was a number one pick, you know, several years ago, and I thought he was going to be a bust. He ended up being a decent player. You know, there's a guy that his name escapes me right now, but he plays for the Magic. You know, but he's at the all-star level. You know, he might have made the all-star team. But he's playing at all-star level right now.
You and I have different opinions of solid NBA player.
Well,
you like Bargnani.
I'm just saying that he's not a bust. Bargnani's definitely not a bust.
Really?
He shouldn't have been a number one pick, but he's definitely not a bust.
If you're not an 8-time all-star, Rob doesn't think you're any good. Like,
it's true.
Good Lord.
But, you know, Phil Jackson talked about Willie Cauley-Stein being a $100 million
player.
No,
that was Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, I'm sorry, yeah.
But
Phil Jackson
still,
would not talk about it.
As reputable a source, I won't disagree with that. But I like that. I mean, is Cauley-Stein – I mean, because that's what I was kind of saying going into the lottery was like, well, you know what, if we end up with number three, is Willie Cauley-Stein that bad? I mean, to get somebody would be a hell of a rim runner, a shot blocker, and could complement Peck and could – I mean, all of those things –
No, Cauley-Stein is definitely more of a DeAndre Jordan type.
He's more of a nouveau big man in the NBA.
Nah, he's not as good. He'll never be as good as DeAndre Jordan.
Why not? I mean, DeAndre Jordan coming
out
of high
school.
DeAndre Jordan took quite a few years to get to where he is right
now.
He's
not to that level explosively. Nope.
Okay, I got to ask
you. Have you seen some of his highlights?
I don't care.
Let me ask you this.
Have you seen DeAndre's highlights?
Yes, I have.
Okay, there's different levels.
I saw his free throw highlights real recently.
It's like saying you want this grill burger, you want this McDonald's 80-cent burger. Come on now. They're completely different.
Tyus Jones, do we or don't we, and why?
I don't know. Would you want him on the team? Of course. Who's the Wolves' backup point guard right now? I don't even know.
LaVine or Lorenzo Brown.
See, okay, so they obviously could use a backup point guard. I mean, in – right now, I don't know where he's going to be projected. Right now, he's, what, 25th, 26th?
No, I think he's actually projected as high as 14 right now. I mean, okay. I think he won't be a lottery pick.
Houston is what I think most folks are saying.
I'd be surprised if he falls below 19 or 20. And this is a draft where, I mean, there's some point guards that are just, they're kind of
Moutier is
coming
like
out of nowhere. I mean, Cameron Payne from Murray State, we got another Murray State point guard. I don't think that Tyus Jones should be drafted below Cameron Payne. I mean, Cameron Payne might. I think
haven't watched Cameron Payne. I think he might be amazing. You don't know.
I'm just basing it on what I've seen from Tyus. You're right. I don't know much about Cameron Payne, but
look at Elfrid Payton. Nobody watched Elfrid Payton before. I watched him one playoff game. Now he's out here. He's a stud.
Are we the right fit for Tyus Jones?
I think so. I think Tyus can fit just about anywhere. It's just, to me, if like you're talking about the Wolves, I don't know how much you can give up to get him. If he's going to be a middle of the draft pick, then that might be too much for who's going to be your backup
point
guard.
But anything can happen, right? I mean, if you're saying if he drops low in the first round,
I think they should do it, because I think if you can get Tyus at 21 or something, that's a great value. Because I don't think you would have to trade much more than like a couple picks. But if you're if you have to go up to just under the lottery, I think you'd have to give more up than they want to.
Tyus and Jahlil playing together, since they were
sitting next to each other at the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, this
sitting right next to each other.
This is you haven't seen this too much, ever. I mean, if players that have grown up together, in youth basketball, play together in college, won a national championship, and play together in the NBA. I mean, who knows what the ceiling for those two could be. I mean, I think that Jahlil got the best out of Tyus. Tyus got the best out of Jahlil at every level. And if they were to pair together in the NBA, I mean, I think that Jahlil's ceiling would be even higher.
That's what makes me a little nervous about the Timberwolves, just trying to find a way to mess this up. Man, wouldn't it be great if we could get Tyus and Jahlil on the same – they're sitting next to each other at the lottery texting each other.
Why is that messing things up? Why is it messing it up?
Because then we don't end up with Karl Anthony Towns.
Can you imagine, with the first pick in the NBA draft, the Wolves take Chris Tapps, and then they're out there trying to justify it. Their fans are booing.
We got most folks who are responding. Thank you, by the way, for tweeting at us in response to the poll question today. Who should we take with the number one pick in the draft? Is it Towns or Okafor? This is Chris Koziak at CK42 says Towns, of course. Callan at NC2MN says Okafor, without a doubt. We've got a couple other folks who are making the argument as well. We can keep addressing this topic throughout the two-hour show today. We're on for a special edition, draft edition, finals edition, EYBL, Memorial Day, holiday edition of One and Done. Hit us up at 651-989-9105 or on Twitter, it's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done. We'll be back in a second.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And off the turnover, Poggioni couldn't handle it. Barbosa to Bogut. Back to Iguodala.
How about the play here? Good job by Bogut overplaying, and then Barbosa setting it up. And Andre Iguodala turning back the hands of time. I call that getting Iggy with it.
To Smith for three. J.R. Smith from downtown. Smith again for three.
He doesn't respect Kyle Korver. I'm just going to put it out there.
Smith backs it up for three. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, most coaches are saying, what in the heck? Great shot. J.R. Smith continues to torch the Atlanta Hawks here.
Smith for three.
Wow.
Number seven for J.R. Smith.
And new personal record for J.R. Smith.
Horatio Smith is now tied the Cavaliers franchise record. And it continues.
What is going on here?
8 for 10 from downtown. And that is now a Cavaliers franchise record for three-pointers.
I don't know where J.R. Smith came from, but he came to play, and he loves playing for Cleveland because he has been, in my opinion, the difference in that basketball series. That and Atlanta just looks like they've totally lost their soul. And then, man, like last night, I was trying to beef up Atlanta like all season long. They're the team play. They're doing what they should. This is how you play basketball. And now they're just falling apart.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, and the power of LeBron James to just change the landscape of a basketball game. It's just...
There's two things going on to me. I mean, first get the obvious out. LeBron's missing two All-Star teammates and Varejao, who is a great defensive player. He's out here with a second team rolling the Atlanta Hawks. We're not playing the level of basketball that I watched a few times this winter. A few. I don't watch much NBA in the winter. That I enjoyed. And like, so there's... Korver used to be hitting shots. Now he can't hit anything and he's fallen over. Horford is... limping and not what he was. Millsap's not what he was. They put something out called Shelvin Mack, who weighs more than J.R. Smith and gives up 7 inches. Like, once I saw that dude on the floor, I'm like, this series is over. You're putting this dude on the floor?
Shelvin Mack from Butler?
I don't have a clue. He was probably great. He's probably a great player, yeah, but Butler. That dude is not guarding J.R. Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
Oh, that's dynamite.
So that's going to be over in four. The other series, or do you got more you want to say about that?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, the Hawks, obviously, you know, you can't discount what they did during the regular season,
yes,
obviously, to get to this
season.
Point.
But hard, you know, to maintain.
I always felt like they were missing something. You know, I mean, this is definitely a team that deserved to be, you know, in the conference finals. But
Pistons.
As far as, you know, having a player, they never really. I mean, Jeff Teague is an outstanding point guard.
How do I forget about Jeff Teague?
Great player.
He's an outstanding point guard. I mean, you know, Al Horford, you know, in a league that lacks, you know, great big men. I mean, he's a pretty decent, you know, back to basket post player. But at the same time, you know, they just don't have that guy that I feel like, okay. It's you know, this is your time.
Yeah.
You know, and this playoff is filled. These playoffs are filled with players like that.
Studs.
I mean, obviously we've been spoiled with James Harden, Steph Curry series. You know, we expect that from you know, from the Hawks, you know, and the Cavs. But I mean, LeBron, to me, I don't know if he was sitting back and watching those two guys go at it and felt like, okay, you know what, people
yeah,
are
LeBron's
forgetting
been amazing.
About how great I can be. And you know, I just feel like, you know, we're kind of bracing for an incredible NBA Finals, you know, with either Harden or Curry versus LeBron James. I mean, that's about as best as you could ask for right there.
Back to Jeff Teague, they put together a video package of him last night that I kind of thought of it during the game, but then, like, they totally turned my point to that. I think it was Kenny Smith and Charles. Like, he isn't being aggressive at all, turning down shots, not attacking spaces. He's not being aggressive at all. And, like, if anybody on that team is going to lead him to win, it has to be him. And he's not nearly the aggressive player he needs to be. Whereas you got guys in the Cavaliers who are taking LeBron's lead, guys like J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert who are just going at it.
Tristan Thompson.
Dellavedova. Dellavedova's a
second round pick, wasn't he?
Tristan Thompson. No, I love watching him. He will
Isn't
fight
he really
anything.
Really fun to play. Like, fun to watch play. That's what we're. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about with Towns. Is that electricity and that from a big man? It's like it's so glaringly obvious.
But
you know what I mean?
Tristan, you know, Tristan's a guy who, you know, when he came into the league after his freshman year at Texas, you know, I felt like he could kind of develop into a player similar to LaMarcus Aldridge. But, you know, he's filling a role for this team. I mean, you talked about Varejao being out. Varejao, I mean, he's a similar player to that. Rebounding force, finishes inside, aggressive toughness. See, I think that's what lacked, you know, a lot of times when Kevin Love was in there. I mean, the toughness factor. And early in Love's career, I felt like, you know, he was a tougher player than he was. He lost a bunch of weight. You know, all of a sudden he wants to, you know, be a three-point shooter. And, you know, this is Tristan Thompson's a guy that, you know, he kind of embodies the type of player inside that LeBron wants to play with,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. I mean, he gets the most out of those guys.
Do you guys know his stat? Guess his stat line last night.
Tristan Thompson's?
Yeah.
Probably, I know he had at least like 4 or 5 blocks.
He had 7 points. But 16 boards. Like, he outplayed Horford just because he outworked the dude. And that's so big because Mozgov's out here. All those guys are contributing.
But defense is the way that the Cavs, you know, are going to win the NBA Finals. I mean, if you look at the way that the two teams in the West are going at it, I mean, it's kind of who makes the last big shot.
Yeah. You know, if we score more, we're going to win.
And, don't get me wrong. I mean, that last play, you know, the way that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, you know, they trap Harden and forced him to give up the ball. I mean, when they turned over the ball there, I thought, okay, this is it. Harden's going to get the game winner. I mean, he's going to take it to the rack, either make a shot or get fouled, and that's the game. But, you know, this is a series, you know, the Cavs series that, you know, if you look at either of those teams in the West, would they make it to the conference finals? I mean, that's the question right there.
What I want to know is, what does it say about Kevin Love now? Like, how expendable is Kevin Love? Because they're basically doing it like you said, with the second unit. I mean, without a dude who's supposed to. This is. I mean, obviously, you know, I kind of feel for Kevin Love. I mean, he missed.
I feel
the,
nothing for Kevin Love.
I think you feel something for him.
No. Nope. Yeah. Yeah. Opposite.
Is there another traitor that you want to talk about from Maryland?
Traitor. Yes, he is the new traitor. That traitor.
Benedict Arnold.
How's your arm, traitor?
But I mean, he's gone now, right? Is he coming back to Cleveland? Is there any reason for him to come back? Do they even have a reason to pursue him?
Look, I mean,
they got to pay all their money to Tristan Thompson.
If there's some way that he can get to the Lakers, I mean, you know, the Lakers are going to draft either Towns or Okafor.
No.
I mean, they could get D'Angelo Russell. I mean, it's got.
Can
got
you
a
imagine
good young
an
team.
Okafor Love front line? Oh, just put a bullet to my head now. Oh my God.
So you had some killing.
Horrible.
It. You had a killing it.
No, wait, we don't have enough time for killing it. We'll do killing it.
I need 12 minutes.
We're going to do a killing it in a couple of minutes. Why don't we get to the picks for the finals? Why don't we get for our picks for the winners of these conference series? I think it's obvious we're looking. How about this? Let's starting in the Eastern Conference. Is this just going to be a sweep?
Four. It has to be. You know, you think about the Hawks. They have a good coach, and they might be able to put a game together. But how do you do that in the queue?
In Cleveland.
I don't know if they can do it in the queue.
I think it'll go five.
Maybe go five.
Are they picking up the next one?
Four.
So Cleveland's
one of the
going,
next two.
Cleveland's going home and putting their feet up, and then they're going to have to kind of wake the giant assorted, which
they might. It might go three, you know, 3-0, and then they get one. But I just think they got one game in them. You know, this is a Cavs team that's lost so much. You know, I feel like they're going to be coasting, you know, in one of these games and give up one, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they'll be in the finals and they'll be waiting for whoever comes out of the West.
35-14-8. LeBron's putting it. He's taking care of it on Sunday. It's going to be his best performance in the playoffs on Sunday.
That's a reasonable expectation, I think, for LeBron at this point. Moving to the West then. We got, it's been a pretty tough first couple of games out there in Golden State. Are they going to be able to pull out a couple in Houston? What are we looking at? Is this a 7-game series?
It'll go six.
I think five or six. I honestly believe the Warriors play a little bit better defense. I do. I think they play a little bit better.
Well, yeah, they're the number one team defensively. Efficiency, yeah, for sure.
The Rockets are too erratic for me. In all ways you can talk about it. They're way too erratic for me. Like, you got, oh gosh, name's slipping me. What's number five? Who's number five? Came from the Pistons.
For the Warriors.
Yeah, no, for the Rockets. He just started starting.
Oh, you're talking about Josh Smith?
Josh Smith. Like, you watched him throw seven alley-oops at
Dwight
Howard. And then he comes out the next game, he's just chucking up dumb shots. Like
Josh Antoine Walker Smith.
That dude kills me. I can't watch him play. Then you got Dwight Howard, Mr. Cheap Shot himself. Like, he's too much for me.
Howard came off the injury, and he had an incredible game, though. God. I mean, you know,
congratulations.
This is a series that's going to go... It might go seven. I think it's going to go six. You know, I just feel like Harden is going to will his team to a couple wins.
He's going to take
at the same time
six long marching strides
at the same
with
time.
His arms sort of swinging. This
yeah,
can well, Curry keep it up? Can Curry keep up this pace?
Yes,
he can. But the thing is, Curry can go he can go away for a few minutes. He has teammates that pick things up. Whereas the Rockets as a team will just implode. But the crazy thing about them is they'll throw a 17-2 run on you in 3 minutes when they actually put it together. But James Harden, like, he bothers. I love watching him, and he bothers me more than anybody in the NBA.
Because, more than anybody.
Oh, he does. Like, hey, dude, come off a screen, please. Stop letting your teammates. Like, why? Hey, Jeff Van Gundy, you're a basketball coach. You coach forever. Stop picking out the hacks, like the Rocket hacks. It's their fault. Harden got picked by a screen and gave up when he had a drink of water. He's standing in the corner. It happens every fourth possession, but no one ever says anything. They worry about Pablo and they pick him out. It's ridiculous. Go help the team out defensively once, sir. You know, and then he comes on them. Then he gets on the mic and he's like, "Y'all hating me? Play some D, and then I won't hate you."
The fourth quarter, nobody could stop Harden though.
He is he's an amazing scorer.
I
did say that, but
only person who can stop Harden is himself,
and he does. At times, defensively.
Well, I think that, you know, you look at the way Curry's playing, you know, Harden doesn't rely as much on three-point shooting as Curry does. I feel like one of these games, maybe a couple, he's going to go through a tough shooting spell, and it's up to Klay Thompson to kind of pick it up. And, you know, Klay's been playing well defensively at times. I mean, it's a tough job against Harden, but I feel like he's due for a couple big games, and he'll have to because Curry can't keep this up. As well as he played, and then, you know, obviously MVP, you know, physically – They're going to start, you know, getting a little physical with them. And you know, I mean, the Rockets, to me, can play a lot better defensively than they have. You know, once Dwight Howard gets a little healthier, you know, I know you can't stand Josh Smith.
Oh, he's terrible to watch. You know, I enjoy watching him throw alley-oops to Dwight Howard. That's kind of fun. Yeah. When they are on a roll together, they can score like crazy. They really can. But, I mean, that also includes you need Ariza and Terrence Jones at times to play well,
right.
well as
he's
well.
He's the X factor, yeah.
And I'm not dumb enough to think
Jason Terry.
I'm not dumb enough to think that times the guy who scores the buckets all the time, it takes a lot of energy to do that. You know, you don't have to be the world's best defender, but please just try to get through a screen, please.
I'm going to get your final predictions in just a couple of minutes. One and done, 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Curry for three. Green kicks it out. Iguodala to Curry, a corner three, puts it in.
Hey, are you kidding me? That's Steph Curry, coach.
Curry on cue, nails another three, his third of the game here in the first quarter. Green goes up top, Curry for three, it's good. Four threes here in the first, Curry, that's a two.
That's not fair. I mean, that's not fair.
Under five to play here in the third. Curry, a three, it's good. Five three-pointers, Curry the drive, step back, two-pointer, puts it in.
Well, as producer of this show, I'm guessing that you can already tell who my pick is for killing it. My favorite segment, what we've been doing, what we started, one of the first ideas that we had for this program was a segment we wanted to call Your Boy is Killing It, to highlight the hoopers that have been doing their thing in the past week, or in our case with this special two-hour show, this two-hour One and Done, we haven't been on for, this is an off-season technically for us. So for the off-season edition, maybe the finals edition, the draft edition, whatever you want to call it, of One and Done, my pick for Your Boy is Killing It, Steph Curry. You be killing them. You be killing them. See how I hit the post even? Did you see how I did that? That's because I work down the hall at 93X, too. I'm a real radio DJ, so I know what I'm doing when I'm hitting posts. You know what I'm saying?
You need to get a Steph Curry jersey.
I'm on the block like Okafor. You know what I'm saying? That's how I do it out here.
You need to wear a Steph Curry jersey around Minnesota and see how far that you can get.
I want to wear a Johnny Flynn jersey, but I'm going to put Chef Curry on the back is what I'm going to do. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. But it kind of hurts my feelings that you don't think that he can keep doing what he's doing, to be honest.
No, I think that he's an incredible shooter. At the same time, you know, shooters, I mean, this whole playoffs, I mean, has he averaged 34 points a game? I mean, I don't know what pace he's on right now, you know, in the conference finals, but, you know, he did go through some spells where he struggled a little bit, and, you know, he had to get back to that point guard role and just find his teammates. And I think Klay Thompson is due for a big game. And he's going to have one for them to pull this one out in the next couple games. You know, a lot of people think they can go for a sweep. You know, I mean, at this pace,
I do. Partially, that's shaded by my hate of Houston.
You know, I'm not a big Houston fan either, but I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to sweep him because I think the Rockets have too much explosive scoring talent. I don't like the way they play that much.
If Howard is not healthy, I mean, let's just say tough, that yes. You know, I think in the last game maybe he pushed it too far.
I thought he gutted it out more than. I'm not a huge fan. I don't like the way he approaches a lot of things, but I think he gutted it out pretty strong in the other game. I thought Bogut played well.
And Harden's a beast.
I'm going to go with Golden State again for my boys killing it. And
I
got to go with Draymond Green, man. I got to go with the Big Ten.
I can see that.
Draymond Green. I mean, going into the last game, he was averaging 13-10. And, you know, this is a guy who a lot of people, you know, he's got a Beats for Dre commercial out that's kind of, you know, headphones on. You know, there's a lot of doubters out there he's not listening to. People who thought that for sure, you know, he had no size to make it in the NBA. He was a tweener, you know, throws too many elbows. I love it that his mom was on Twitter.
That's what I was just looking up.
Going crazy.
My kids say
going
that.
Crazy, man.
This is Mary Babers Green, Draymond's mom. My kids say that I don't have any chill, so please excuse me if I get out of hand. It's just me being myself, so sorry in advance. And she just goes. James Harden has proved something. Let's take his air. Deflategate. Hashtag Deflategate. That's all he does is flop. His nickname should be Flipper. I mean, just come on, Dre's mom.
How many followers does she have? Man, I got to start
come
following
on, Dre's mom.
Flipper.
She's got, well, she's earning some followers. She's got 5,800 followers already. Her pick is great. It's like her and her son in an elevator or something. Is no, it's on draft day. It looks like they're in an
elevator. Stop hesitating on your shot.
It's so good.
That'll get you blocked every time.
It's so good.
I can't imagine what it was like when he was growing up. But, you know, I love it. Yeah, I love parents to support their kids. But at the same time, man, there's a reason why parents should not be on Twitter. You know, I think the Jermon Green to
and
me.
And don't come to the games, but don't come to the game. By the way, if you're playing Matt Barnes' team, because he's going to cuss your mom out. What was that? Come on, man! You're a grown man, and you're cussing out James Harden's mom.
Matt Barnes would cuss out anybody.
It's just come on, man! What? Don't do that.
But you'd love him on your team, though.
I would love him on my team. I loved it when he was a Laker.
I got to finish with Green.
Hit it.
This is a guy who, to me, you know, when I watched him in the Big Ten, did you ever think that he was going to be, you know, a productive player on a contending team in the NBA? No, but at the same time, he was one of my favorite players to watch. Probably ever, you know, at least while I've been covering the Big Ten the last 10 years.
Man, Tubby wanted him bad.
He did, but you know, and I think at one time, you know, he was looking at Kentucky when Tubby
yes,
was there, and
was.
You know, I think
he was looking at
right
when Tubby came
when
here.
Tubby came to Minnesota.
Was his first
yeah,
made.
Definitely. And
think of
Green is to me. You know, he's sort of a Charles Barkley type, you know.
Oh, I mean, come on. Look,
no, I'm just talking about for what he's getting out of his size at 6'5". Maybe 6'6". You know, getting 10 rebounds a game. I mean, does he score like Charles Barkley? No, but I'm just saying for his size, you
it's
know,
tenacious.
You just don't see too many power forwards with
tenacity.
His size. I mean, he was all defensive team, first team. He should have been defensive player of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah, he really does. As much as Bogut is a shot blocker or whatever,
and he guards,
he's the anchor.
He guards
that
players
team.
That are 5 inches taller than him.
Can you imagine being like David Lee? Remember David Lee, the Golden State Warrior? All-star game, get a contract. You're
he was big man on campus. I went to Florida for like a semester. He was the big man on campus back then.
When in your thought process were you like, whoa, Draymond Green's going to take all my time?
Yeah.
And his money. He gets to that team defensively. They're just not the team that they should be without Jermon Green.
All right.
And you know, I'll let Ryan give his six or seven players.
Yeah. Right, I'm giving you four 4:15 on your 25 killing it.
Here we go, high school kids. We've had about 6 weeks of a grassroots AAU season. Minnesota's done a lot of good things locally and around the country. Just a few things to run through player wise. Obviously, we'll get to Gary Trent's gonna be a good topic in the middle, big topic in the middle of the show here. But Gary is leading the EYBL in scoring at 23-9. I mean, that's he's putting up Alonzo Trier numbers. And for those that remember the numbers that Alonzo Trier was putting up when he was being recruited and scoring in 30s and 40s, guess what Gary's been doing? He's getting 24 a game, and his percentages. I don't have him pulled up right now, but Gary's percentages are outstanding in the EYBL.
And real quickly, we got to clarify for the folks that maybe are laymen's or just don't quite know what the EYBL is. This is the Nike Elite Youth Basketball League, right? And it's come to Minneapolis this weekend.
Today. Like, the games actually started 26 minutes ago.
And this is one of the last sessions. Like, they play around the country, and it's the elite, like, under 18, under 19 players.
Yep, it's the elite 17 and under players.
17 and under?
Yep, but then there's also, like, Howard Pulley is just under 500. They start four kids who are 16 and under players, which are basically 2017s, like Gary. But, I mean, Gary, let's look at these percentages. He's taken, in 12 games, he's shooting 50% from the field on 190 shots, 81% from the foul line, and this is the big one. Out of 99 threes, he's shooting 43.4%. And this is him most likely getting all the attention defensively. I mean, he's been outstanding. So Gary's first. Net Gain Sports, they're in New York right now in the Under Armour Association League. They've had a great year. Ishmael El-Amin, who is Khalid's son, and McKinley Wright, they are also both 16U kids playing up. They've been outstanding, as well as Reed Nico around the basket from Maple Grove. So shout out to Net Gain there. Austin Slater is a kid from Wayzata playing with the Minnesota Fury squad that's had a great year. That's 21-4. He's really turned his game up in the last month. So big, you know, killing it to him. Cole Dahl added 7 scholarship offers locally, and he's getting bigger attention. He's from Northern Freeze, Minnesota. Plays for the Minnesota Comets. That's right.
Wait a minute. Pump the brakes on that.
That's the school name.
I was like, did we really name a town Northern Freeze?
So.
School, I guess I can roll with that.
School name. I messed that up. Amir Coffey, he's been hurt. Just got a Florida scholarship offer. So good for Amir.
Oh, big ups to Amir. That's dope.
And then finally, Trey Burhau. He's a kid from Watertown, Mayor, that I've been extremely, extremely impressed with. That I think is going to be coming up in name we're talking about. He's from Watertown, Mayor.
He's been
outstanding. He's another 16U kid from 2017. And the last one's Jarvis Thomas. He's a Tartan kid, 2018, all from Minnesota Lockdown. He's a kid we're going to be talking a lot about. And this young man, I got to tell you a quick story. I'm in Omaha, and there's this team called the Southwest Minnesota Stars. They've lost one game all year. And this dude gorilla dunks and growls. And I look up, I'm like, who is this dude? He's staring me at the eyes like, yeah. You better know who I am.
You can't guard me.
He comes
he
into the
you.
Game.
He was
comes
like,
into
yeah.
the game and blocks the shot into the window. And his neck snaps back at the bench and like kind of. And I'm like, oh my god, this guy's scary. He tip dunks with two hands and almost rips the rim off. He's elbowing people in the face. His name is Weston Baker McGrath, and he's a beast.
McGrath.
He's from Marshall, Minnesota. Another 2017.
All right.
Yeah, we got that.
Wow.
Those are the names
is
we
that
got.
Mark McGrath's son.
Weston. Baker McGrath.
Man, I'm into that.
He's mean and nasty at 6'7".
Anybody who elbows somebody. I'm wearing my Charles Oakley jersey today. Anybody who elbows somebody in the throat, I'm with you.
Okay, I had to talk about that. Did you see the foul they called on, what's that guy's name? The Hawks, the ball guy? They called that flagrant one on him for hitting LeBron.
That was terrible.
That was awful.
That was so ticky-tack.
Charles Oakley was probably, I mean, he had been crying like, or no, he's laughing because he's like, I hit dudes like that 8 times a game.
Well, come on. It's a different NBA now. We know that.
That was a touch foul back in those Oakley days. Big ups to Oaks. Don't bring eggs to a barbecue, even if it's Memorial Day. You just don't do it. All right, we're going to try to get Gary Trent Sr. on the line in a couple of minutes. We'll continue to talk lottery, Wolves with him, and, of course, the EYBL is in town, so we're gonna continue that conversation and see what we can do about Gary Trent Jr. Maybe coming to the Gophers. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Well, we got Gary Trent Sr. on the phone here. Ex-Wolves player, was in the NBA for over a decade, and obviously a lot of people remember him from his days at Ohio. Shaq of the Mac.
Shaq of the Mac.
Tearing it down in the Mac. Obviously he's got a son, Gary Trent Jr., who's tearing it up in the EYBL this year, leading the EYBL in scoring. We got the EYBL in town this week. Today, in fact, Howard Pulley plays at 12:30, team takeover. They're warming up right now. Gary Sr. said his son's got to put up 50 in this
50.
Game here. 50. He's capable of. He's already put 43 up this year in Houston. But this is an incredible player. And Gary,
when I was in 21 minutes.
43 points in 21 minutes? You're kidding me.
Yeah, the coach took him out and told him that, since we're up, I want to let these other guys get some chemistry and get some rhythm and find their shots because we got a lot of games ahead of us, which was the right thing to do at that point in time. But, when you got 7-8 minutes to go and you got that, you're looking at it like, nah, don't take me out yet.
Well, just Gary, just talk a little bit about your NBA career toward the end of it and how your son, you kind of brought him along a little bit to kind of check out what you were going through at that time. And it was a real young age, at the age of 5, right?
Well, yeah, he was a young age, but I think he understands the game, and when I used to play in the summer leagues at home, a lot of summer leagues are in high school gyms. So, you can basically sit there and conversate with somebody because your feet are basically on the floor. And I will run down the floor and I'll tell my son, hey, when I catch the ball, I'm going to do this move and watch what happens. And then when I come back down, I will get the ball and I would actually be holding the ball in my hand, looking at my son. And I'll be like, son, watch this. Because it's summer league, there's no shot clock, and it's a high school gym, but it's a real summer league. It was our pro-am. And I would tell him what I'm about to do. Then I will go into the move and do it.
And this is a kid who, at a young age, you could tell that, he loved basketball. He wanted to be around basketball. You certainly didn't force it on him. And then just tell us, at what point you felt like, he knew that he could be a really good player?
My son felt like that all his life, man, honestly. When he used to play, in the leagues where, you're 5-6 years old and they tell you you're not allowed to steal the ball. So what we would come up with is you're not allowed to reach in and steal the ball. So I say, okay, cool. Let's work on being a great defender. So this is basically teaching you how to slide your feet. So I tell them, slide your feet, bump the ball with your stomach because the kids are going to dribble out in front of them. Bump the ball with your stomach and force the turnover like that. You're not allowed to go in there and steal it, but they're not allowed to say nothing about you bumping the ball off your stomach. So I always found a way to keep them ahead of the curve. And, in those type of games, my son was scoring like 35 of the team's 43, 44 points as a kid at 5 or 6 years old. And I always used to tell him, son, This is not how basketball is going to be all your life. Trust me, you're not going to be scoring 80% of the team points. Don't work like this. It's working like that now because y'all little. But, and, you know, so I had to explain that all the time because, you know, he would actually literally just chase behind the court bar and be like, right here, right here, right here, the whole game. He would chase behind the kid like, right here, right here. And what I discovered is kids who can dribble at a young age, those are the aggressors, and those are the confident kids. Because if you watch a kid get the ball past him that cannot dribble, he's going to catch it, pump a couple times, looking somewhere, and try to give it away like hot potato because he can't dribble, so he's not confident in what he's about to do next.
And, you know, I mean, we all know what kind of player you were in college in the NBA. And, you know, your son has a different game. But at the same time, you know, you look at what you were at his age, what size you were at his age, and he's actually bigger than you. Not a lot of people can kind of fathom that, but he's bigger than you when you were 16 right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was maybe an inch or so, 1.5 inches shorter, and I was only like about 183 pounds, so my son about 200. But, you know, that's because we got food at home, you know what I'm saying?
Hey.
My son don't have to fast food it up, or he ain't got to go. He ain't got to pull the doughboy, and I'm going to the store anyway.
How did you become the Shaq of the Mac, but you didn't have anything to eat?
Well, I came to Shaq of the Mac because I got to college. I got that meal plan. I put some weight on. You know what I'm saying? I got some weight on me now, so when I go up and dunk, I'm dragging guys along with me. I'm in the weight room, so between the weight room and the real 3-time, 4-time-a-day, unlimited meal plan. When I got to college, it was unlimited. Boy, you would have thought I was making up for lost time the way I was eating.
Garrett, this is Ryan James. I was just going to say, you had the 3-meal plan, and you took advantage of it, right?
Man, did I ever. I was eating so much in the cafeteria, they'd be like, listen, you get 2 scholarships. Just one for meals.
One for your food.
I used to take Joel Prisbilla's his numbers. And I'd be like, Joel never used them. So I was like, I take his and his. Oh, those meal plans are the best.
Well, Gary, you know, I just watching your son play for Apple Valley this year, you know, obviously he learned a lot from Tyus Jones the year before, but he's taken the team under, you know, on his reins, and obviously he's taken them to another level. Can you just talk about, you know, what it was like for him to see him kind of take over from where Tyus Jones left off this year and win a state title for Apple Valley?
Oh, it's beautiful, man. You know, my son has always been a leader, and every team that he's been on, no matter the talent, he's always been one of the leaders, you know, whether it be vocally or energy-wise or playing hard on the floor. And he'll play with Tyus, and getting to play with someone of his caliber is just beautiful to be able to have him watch the process. You know, I can explain the process to you, tell you about my life and all of this, but I was never recruited as hard as my son or Tyus. But I understand the process, so it's good for him to see the process. It was good for him to see, if you keep working hard, you see all these coaches showing up to the gym to check out Tyus, they're going to check you out like this and blah, blah, blah and whatnot. But in his mind, it's just a matter of time before they come. You know what I'm saying? Because one thing about my son's confidence, he's confident and he feels he's better than the next guy. Not so much due to the performance and numbers, but because he lost gym hours. You know, when my son be like, man, he'll be in the gym working on his game, you can hear his conversation about working out and improving and getting better. And that's where his confidence comes from. You know, there's no way you go to the gym Monday through Friday, you make 1,000 free throws every day, and then come Saturday in the game when it's time to shoot that free throw, you're going to believe you're going to make that because you done made 5,000 already. You're not going to step up there and question it. You're not going to step up there and not believe in yourself. You're going to believe in yourself because you put in the reps to feel comfortable mentally and physically to know what you're about to accomplish.
Well, you know, you look at his recruiting. I mean, it's just taking off in the EYBL this year. You know, we got Duke and Kentucky, Arizona, right, starting to look at him a little bit. Can you just talk about, you know, some of the schools that maybe you weren't hearing from too much before, or all of a sudden in the EYBL you're hearing more from?
Well, I told my son last year when ESPN ranked him number 20th, and I told him, I said, son, I said, this is your benchmark number. This is the first time you've been ranked. I said, this is your benchmark. I said, by September 2015, I said, give your basketball season, give your spring and summer basketball, and let's log some gym hours. I said, I promise you by 2015, they'll be playing a different tune.
And, you know, I mean, to get you know, looks at from Duke and Kentucky, I mean, he's at an age right now where obviously these schools can't contact you or your son yet. June 15th.
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, June 15th, right?
Yeah, get that phone
well,
ready.
Here's the ironic thing about the Duke and Kentucky. Here's how that probably came about. you know, my son's been playing varsity since eighth grade when Duke was here recruiting Tyus. So they've seen the progression of my son. They saw the moves he was making as an eighth grader. They've seen the progression of him. So they've kind of got to watch him over the last two and a half years. So to me, that was no surprise. You know, I've been talking to Jeff Capel off and on as he always came to see Tyus and whatnot. So I kind of knew that sooner or later they would get involved. But when you know, when the Kentuckys and Dukes get involved, they want to wait to really for you to really show something. Because they're more on the elite level. They're just not hollering at anybody and just giving out scholarships to anybody. So you almost, they need to really see you prove yourself before we, you know. You remember how Phil Jackson never stood up?
But oh, yeah.
When he stood up and walked down the sideline to say something to a referee, it meant something because Phil got up out of his seat. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, that's true.
So that's kind of like Coach K and Calipari. When they get up out the seat, now it means something. So it's funny because the game where he dropped 43 in 21 minutes, Calipari's son plays on that team.
And, ooh. You know,
yeah, so he dropped that. So he dropped them numbers right on his son. So that, between that game and then Duke always coming to see Tyus and getting to watch my son in the open gym, that's kind of how that happened. But it was funny because after the game, my son told me, he's like, you know that was Coach Calipari's son out there guarding me. I said, no, I didn't know that. So
Heard him.
Yeah, he went home and said, Dad.
You can tell your dad firsthand, hey, man, that guy can play.
Might have just ruined my scholarship offer.
Hey, Dad, I got an idea of a guy. Mr.
So
Trent.
That's ironic how all that happened. But that's why you have to be out there on the circuit playing.
I get to share my Gary Trent Jr. moment. Gary, you'll remember this. This is Ryan James, coach of Minnetonka. Gary probably played one JV game his freshman year. They had to put him against Minnetonka with Trey, with Cameron, with Steve Christensen, with every one of those dudes against my JV. I think Gary hit 6 3-pointers in like the first 5 minutes against my little JV guys. He kind of turned around and said, like, sorry. Like, I'm looking at Zach like, you got all these dudes playing on my JV? We're losing 43 to 10. Like, are you kidding? And JD's over there also like, sorry. That's my first Gary Trent moment.
Well, Gary, we all know that you have Columbus roots, right? Gary Jr. was born in Columbus, and you know
we're all born and raised in Columbus.
At the same time, you're here in Minnesota now, and you know everybody hopes that the Gophers continue to recruit your son. You know, is it when you have that you're in Minnesota, you know, you have the pressure to obviously play for the home state team, but at the same time he's from Columbus, so there's that dynamic there. You know, is that kind of a weird thing that Gary has to deal with when he's going to school and when he's out with his friends?
Not at all, because there's no pressure to play for anybody. There's no pressure. The number one thing that my son needs to focus on is stay on your academics. That's number one. And stay working on your craft. As long as you keep working on your academics and you log in gym hours working on your game, all that other stuff will handle itself. There's no pressure to play for no hometown team nowhere. You know, because in all actuality, people have offered scholarships, but there hasn't been any real heavy attack on the recruitment side. And it'll probably change once people are allowed to call you directly and mail you brochures about their university and what their campus looks like and things like that. But, you know, it's been some moments and whatnot. But I think right now everybody knows in 2 weeks what they're allowed to do. So everybody's just probably getting their bucket list together for everybody they calling at midnight, you know.
I hope Patino's listening to that.
Well, we're hoping for nothing but the best. I mean, whatever is ultimately in his best interest, that's what we're certainly shooting for. But we do have a hometown team that's holding a number one draft pick right now. So I want to get your take on the Towns or Okafor today. It's our poll question today on One and Done is who do we take with this number one pick? Will you weigh in for us? What are you thinking, Towns or Okafor, and why?
Honestly, with Towns playing for Kentucky, I have not seen a lot of his game. I haven't seen him, like, be responsible as a franchise player, like, so to speak. Like, you know, in college, Duke had their big three with Okafor, Tyus, and the Wilson kid, Winslow.
Mm-hmm.
So at point in times throughout his college career, he had to be the focal point. You had to be what the NBA would say as a franchise player. Can we come down and give you the ball 5 times in a row and you carry us through? You know, so you know how you come down, we're just going to give it to you. We don't have nothing. We're just going to give it to you. And either you're going to get double teamed or you're going to carry us through. I haven't seen Towns do that, and I think it is due to the depth of the Kentucky team, you know, with the in and out short minutes. I've never just seen him have to come out and dominate a game. I don't know if he can give me 20 and 15. I don't know that. I've never seen him play. So when they started saying that he could potentially be the number one pick, I'm like, who is this Towns kid, my son? You know, no, I'm serious. Not to disrespect the guy.
No, yeah, yeah.
I mean, their team was so deep. He in and out, in and out, in and out. I never seen him play. Like, the minute you watch Okafor play, he might play 8, 9, 10 minutes straight because they don't have nobody to come in for him, or he's dominating the game, or they need him to be in the 2-3 zone or whatever the case may be.
That's
so I've seen him in different aspects of what the NBA will want to say. Can this guy be a franchise player? You know, the positive thing about either one of them is you've got Garnett here, so whoever y'all draft, you know, he's going to be right in there in the locker room working with him on the aspect of the mental side, but more importantly, all these guys are going and hiring Olajuwon or hiring people to train them after their – and, you know what I'm saying, when they retire and whatnot, the Wolves will have Garnett, who has some of the greatest footwork and greatest knowledge of this game, to be able to give that to whoever one of those big guys they drafted. So that's what's going to be the real blessing for the guys that they drafted, that you get to come right up under that type of direct tutelage. It's one thing to have a coaching staff teach you and things like that, but, you know, when you got people like him, Garnett, or like when I was here, you had Kevin McHale here, when you got people like that that done this, that have done what you want to do and have dreamt to do, I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Gary Trent, the Shaq of the Mac at Ohio, 11th pick in the 95 draft, finished his NBA career with the Wolves in 04. We appreciate you joining today, and good luck at the EYBL today.
Appreciate it, Gary. You,
thanks a lot, Gary. Right. Have a good one. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Yes, it is a special edition of One and Done on 105 The Ticket. I'm Hardwood Rob, joined by the... I was trying to come up with, like, a cool nickname. I think I was calling Ryan James the Gym Rat for a minute. I don't know if I like that. The indefatigable Ryan James plays through bronchitis.
Yes, right.
And Mr. Marcus Fuller, the chief, the mighty with the pen, Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press in the house. It's a two-hour show. We're about three-quarters of the way through this thing. Just got done talking to Gary Trent. And his son is beasting in the EYBL. This is the Nike EYBL, the Elite Youth Basketball League, which is in Minneapolis through Monday. I don't know that a lot of people know that there is really high-quality youth basketball that goes on in Minneapolis like this. I mean, even to hardcore hoop heads, they might not be aware. Do we know where we can go, who to watch? I mean, fill us in. Treat me like I'm new. What am I missing out here?
Well, the EYBL has been coming here for, you know, what, 3-4 years now. It's Nike's sponsored, 40 sponsored teams, and they have a 4-session league, a league that they play 4 times 4 different weekends, and then they have a peace jam in the summer. It's a collection of some of the best talent in the country. Like, for example, 30 of the top 50 kids that are going to be juniors, the top 50 prospects in the country are here, including Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri, Kansas City area, who's a second-ranked player in his class, Troy Brown Jr. out of Las Vegas, Jared Vanderbilt from Houston. These are three, and Zach Brown from Miami. These are 4 of the top 5 kids in the country for their age, and they're going to be playing here. Then let's get to the seniors. Harry Giles plays for Chris Paul's team out of the Carolina area. Second-ranked player in the nation right now.
I mean, that team is like the best youth team in the country, too, right? Yes. That CP3 team.
That's the team that Nate Mason played with. Jason Tatum of the St. Louis Eagles. Again, this is obviously from the St. Louis area. This is the third-ranked player in the country. Malik Monk, 7th-ranked player in the country from Arkansas. These guys are most likely going to be NBA draft picks that we're going to be arguing about in the future. They're playing here in town for, what, $8 or $10 to go watch up in Maple Grove, at where their Maple Grove's new youth basketball area. Saturday is. Right now I'm not exactly. Do we know exactly what the name of the building is?
I don't. I'm not sure what the name of the building is, but it says Maple Grove Community Center, and
that doesn't sound right. Yeah, that doesn't sound
right. That's what it says on the EYBL website, but you know their directions. Just go to the EYBL website, and you can find it out. But I've been watching this, you know, this league for a few years now, and it was just amazing for this type of talent all to be collected in one gym, you know, here in Minnesota during the spring and summer. I remember one year I was out there watching Andrew Wiggins slam dunk on a couple players. Then I looked at another court and Jahlil Okafor was getting the post pass and finishing. You know, a couple courts down, Tyus Jones was leading Howard Pulley with a big crowd around him. And you know, and again, you know, you just don't get this type of talent all in one gym. And then, you know, you look a couple years later and these kids are in the NBA. I mean, Andrew Wiggins, you know, the athleticism that he showed this year for the Wolves, you know, Rookie of the Year. We saw all of that, you know, at the EYBL. And definitely, you know, college coaches, you know, depending on when the EYBL comes into town, they can be out there, you know, watching these kids. And I remember one year, you know, Bo Ryan sitting next to, you know, Coach K and obviously Tubby Smith at the time watching Tyus Jones. And it just, you know, you feel like, you know, when you have this type of talent come to Minnesota, you know, there's opportunity for the Gophers, obviously. If these kids want to check out the campus, they can certainly do that. Last year, you know, Kevin Dorsey, who was their top recruit in the 2015 class, he was here in Minnesota with the UIBL and, you know, definitely enjoyed, you know, playing here and so much that he came back. I mean, this is a guy that's going to first year, next year as a freshman, you know, he's going to be maybe a starter and obviously one of the top freshmen in the Big Ten. And, you know, you never know who's going to be that player this year. Shamari Pons, I think that Ryan mentioned, is playing for New York Lightning. He'll be in the league here this year, and he's a point guard from New York that has a lot of upside. But at the same time, you know, you look at some of the recruits that Minnesota's brought in over the years, and, you know, they don't necessarily, you know, Nate Mason's one of them. I mean, he's not necessarily a recruit that was recruited by, you know, Ohio State, Michigan State, like a Gary Trent. But, you know, he came under the radar and definitely made a big impact last year for the Gophers.
Before we talk about Gopher recruiting, I know we want to talk about
wait,
Gopher.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
I know. I want to give us a full segment to actually get into Gopher recruiting.
No,
that's
sure,
why
sure,
I want to give us the full. So what I want to know is, I mean, we were just talking to Gary Trent, senior. Is junior going to – I mean, right now he's putting up something like – what is it? I mean, he scored 43 – putting up 23, 24 a game through the first three sessions. I mean, we're talking about a kid from Apple Valley that's leading all. I mean, that's leading scorer of all of these dudes, all of these guys from across the nation. I mean, Gary Trent Jr., is he like the prime prospect, or is he just the? Can you kind of put that into context for me for what he's doing? And I mean, will he be able to like actually catch the scoring title?
In
the EYBL.
Right now, he's the favorite to do so, and you're talking about a weekend where Howard Pulley's 5-7 in the EYBL. To make the Peach Jam, you have to be a top five team in your division or be one of the four wild card seeds. Basically, to be good enough to be one of those wild card seeds, they have to have the record to get one of the. They have to have the record to be a top five team. So they need to have a big weekend. Here's the problem. And it's not a problem that they can't get past, but it's a very tough one. They are playing the top three teams in their division, who are all 9-3, and then they're playing the fourth team in their division, who's 8-4, and their team playing the other team that's 5-7. They have a very, very difficult schedule. They have to face in order to try to get to the Peach Jam. If you don't know what the Peach Jam is, that is the mega tournament for grassroots summer basketball. That is the spot to be. I've been there. It's the best. That and the Vegas Fab 48 are the two best atmospheres I've ever been in to watch summer basketball. They want to make it. I don't think since the EYBL has been giving these bids to the Peach Jam, I don't think Pulley's ever missed it. So they
wow.
have, but I think they have a, you know, they have a tough task this weekend. But we've seen them come down to the last weekend in the past. So the one thing about Howard Pulley is they are starting four guys who are a year younger than most of the guys that are on the floor. So there is that, but they are growing and they are good talent. So it's going to be a very interesting weekend to see how they do. And Gary's going to be the guy leading the way, scoring 24 a game. They're going to need him. Back to your original question, they're going to need him to score to win these games. So I think he's going to walk out of this weekend as a top scorer.
The Peach Jam is in July.
Second open period weekend in July. It's usually like July 16th, 17th area.
Where do they? Where's the peach? Where is it at? Is it
North Augusta, South Carolina? You go. It's like you stay. A lot of us will
Carolina.
Stay. Did I say Carolina?
No, I'm just saying Carolina.
I'm becoming kind of a Southern guy, man. I'm going back to Florida for a month and a half this summer. You know, I'm kind of becoming Southern. Maybe it's my dream. I don't know. But like,
I need to get up there one of these days.
Up there.
Down north.
Down there.
I'm sorry. I'm from Hawaii.
We're up far
enough.
My geography's messed up. I live on an island. Yeah. I did live on an island.
Like, it's you stay in where the Masters is, but then like you go to South Carolina to the gym where they're playing.
But Gary's doing his thing. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and we'll address his position regarding recruiting, and we're going to get into plenty of Gopher recruiting next in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done and 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, now another member of your coaching tree who has come up for other jobs is your son Richard, who's having great success in Minnesota. What kind of advice have you given him with regards to handling potential opportunities?
I met with the Alabama athletic director and talking about different guys for that job, and Richard's name came up, and Richard was seriously considering making that move. He called me up and said, you know, Dad, Alabama's a great job, but I don't deserve it. You know what, for a 32-year-old, that's as proud as I can be as a dad. He was just so humble about it, and he said, I haven't done enough to warrant any move or even consider any move. He said, we got a tough rebuilding job here in Minnesota, and I'm going to get it done.
Wow, that's Rick Pitino on Rome. Yeah, what he said that kind of wowed me out was he's done a great job. Is that accurate? He's done a great job. I don't even, don't answer that. That's more of a rhetorical question than anything. Don't answer that. I know something else is bugging you about that.
Well, first of all, that was a little while ago, and you know Richard had a chance to address what his dad said on Rome. And you know, he got a text and a call from his dad that he was going to be on Rome, and then he was going to help out the program. He said, Dad, hey, come on now. That doesn't help me too much. And, you know, he did talk to Mike Grimm from the Gophers play-by-play. And you know, they talked a little bit about, obviously, the Alabama job and the fact that they did contact him.
I wasn't ready.
You know, he wanted to make sure that people know that, you know these jobs come. These jobs come calling, and at the same time, he wants the people know that he is happy in Minnesota.
I'm one of he those horrible media guys. I'm not a good media guy. I'm a bad media guy.
He's excited about the incoming class and all that, and that's what you expect him to say. I mean, what else do you expect him to say?
I would say this.
I'm the one that the athletes are talking about. I'm the media guy that they hate. I'm one of those guys that doesn't know anything about the game. That's me. I'm the one that just talks mess.
I think Rick is just a guy who wants to help his son.
Yeah.
And sometimes he doesn't realize, you know, what he's saying, you know, doesn't necessarily help. And I don't think that Richard put him up to that, you know. And at the same time, I don't think Coach has to defend himself every time that something comes up about Minnesota and another job.
It's the social media age that we live in.
But.
Ryan's over there just shaking his head. He's
All this stuff, like, whatever was said, whatever was meant, where the thoughts are, whatever. I don't know, and I don't really – I don't place much value in it because Pitino's the coach here. I never thought he was leaving anyway. This coaching stuff happens every year with guys helping their name out there. The only thing that I'm salted about is – Alabama being better than Minnesota? Come on, that's weak.
But who's saying that, though?
I don't know who's saying that, but the opinion was offered by somebody.
Sure.
And I think that opinion is weak. I mean,
but you know what? I mean, if you look at the two programs that we're going to get into recruiting here. But if you look at Alabama,
hell no.
You look at Minnesota. I mean,
hell no.
Alabama,
hell no.
Football program money, Minnesota.
Sure.
We can understand, you know, the resources there. But if you're just talking about the program in general, where they're at, whether you make it in NCAA tournaments, where you're getting talent, I mean, Alabama and Minnesota. I think Minnesota has, just as good a talent as Alabama is producing right now.
Well, there's a lot of talent in Alabama.
So is there in Minnesota.
But nobody from Alabama ever wants to go there. That's because nobody wants to go there.
Because it's a football school.
It's a football school. They get. Like, I mean, I don't want to say something under what their attendance is. But I was there for a game. That's the first road game ever. I sat in the building and was looking like, seriously.
You're talking about 20 years ago?
No. Well, felt close. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, am I at Riverland Community College? Like, this is insane. Nobody here. And, like, this is after they had names come through that program.
Sure.
Not much longer. Like, I'm kind of old here. Like, Latrell Sprewell was through that program. Jason Caffey was through that program.
Right.
Who else? McDice.
Robert Horry wasn't either.
Antonio McDice. They had just been through that program. Eric Washington was on the team now. And no one's there watching. Like, no, dude, that is not a... Now, they had a good...
And that was before, obviously, before Saban and their national championships, but...
They had a good run with Mark Gottfried for about four years. Congratulations, you're amazing.
But, we'll get back to Patino recruiting,
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan James.
He's Trill.
One thing about, these reports that come out that he's up for other jobs or what have you, the recruits, I talked to him during the process, a few of them, and... none of them were worried that he was leaving. And, at the same time, I think this hurts. What it does hurt is for the future. We're talking about the guys coming down the road two, three years from now. Do they think Patino's going to stay? And, one kid that Ryan knows pretty well and his family, Michael Hurt, him committing to the Gophers, he's from Rochester, 6'6", forward from the class of 2016. He's committed to the program, and he feels like that Patino is building something special, and that should send a statement to a lot of other guys.
Unaffected. That's cool.
Yeah.
So the late signing period ends with the Gophers landing Jordan Murphy. What else are we looking at?
Yeah,
that's
Ryan.
Great...
I mean, Ryan's the guy that follows these kids all throughout summer and spring, and I'm anxious to see what you think about Jordan Murphy. And do you remember watching him play? Because
I do remember watching him play. I watched him play in Chicago, and I watched him play in Las Vegas last summer. I'm a huge fan. A lot of people want to call him a small forward, which he can be because he's athletic enough and his skills are getting better. But what I remember about this guy is a dude who would fight your face off for a rebound. This is a guy who will battle bigger
guys.
That's
what they need.
Yeah. He's a guy that will bounce. He's a 2-3 bounce guy. His coach said this to me, and this is something I noticed. He's a 2-3 bounce guy. Like, bounce to the board, bounce to another board. Some dudes are 1 bounce guys. He's 2-3 bounce guy because of effort, because he has quick bounce. He's got wide shoulders. He'll fight guys off the block. I love him because he can play both spots. He's tall enough. I mean, is he 6'7"? I think he's 6'7" myself. His coach said he's almost 6'8". So there. If he's not 6'7", he's 6'6 and 3/4". I stood next to the dude. He's way taller than I am. The guy could play in a lot of ways. I think he's the perfect finish off to this class. He's ranked somewhere between 95 and 115 most places. I think he is the perfect closer to that class.
What I like about him is, the height is one thing, but the size. He's about almost 225 right now, and to me, if you look at him, this is a kid that like Ryan said, his shoulders, he's going to put on a lot of weight, a lot of good weight once he gets here. And then in the first, several months, he could put on 10, 15 pounds.
And then he'd be ready to go because he's a big kid already.
Right.
With Jordan just gets you also excited because he runs the floor and his effort is so constant.
He's got the wingspan. He's 7'1" wingspan. He's got the athleticism. And then again, I talk about the weight. I also like the fact that he's a versatile player. I mean, if you look at, like Ryan said, he can play small forward. He can extend it a little bit with his range. He can put the ball on the floor. His head coach in high school talked about him playing point guard sometimes for his team.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No, he's not playing point guard, but it just shows that he's got a little bit of ball handling skill. And, when you look at this team, there are a lot of players, at the guard positions that can play, 1-3. But the forward positions, you've got a guy playing out of position in Joy King. I think obviously Bakari is your center, but they lost a recruit here, Jonathan Nwanko, and that's a situation that I think it shocked a lot of people. I mean, he was a kid that I continued to talk to throughout the recruiting process, and he was excited to get here next month and play. But there was a situation where his transcripts weren't ready for with the NCAA clearinghouse, and the Gophers just decided to part ways as well as he did. I mean, it was kind of a mutual decision, saying, "Hey, we're not going to wait around for this to happen." And in Jonathan's camp, I can understand why he would want to kind of start right now, trying to find another school just in case it doesn't happen. Because if you were to wait through this process and it doesn't work out, I mean, he'd have to either sit out a year or go to junior college. And that just, for him, a type of talent that he is, he can play somewhere right now as a true freshman because he's got the size, 6'10", 245. I mean, I was excited about him, but, You know, now, you know, we're gonna have to move on.
Ryan less well, so I gotta, excited. I guess more so many excited things, for like, the move on.
Whatever. I got so many things to go through here. Jordan Murphy. Okay, we gotta go back 2 minutes.
Back to Jordan.
Well, you didn't let me talk after.
Well, no, it's
I got
okay. Jordan. I love Ryan Jordan. James. I can talk about Jordan the whole time. Yeah. This whole time.
Well, the thing about Minnesota that people need to know about Jordan is like when they first started talking to him, you're talking like Oklahoma State, Oregon, and Texas. You're talking about real schools that are going after him. Minnesota didn't look like they have a shot, but they stayed there. They stayed there, and there he ended up getting. I don't know what happened with Texas. That's Shaka Smart. Right. I know.
We do have to mention that he was an ex Virginia Commonwealth recruit.
Yes,
and that's why Shaka Smart.
And don't look at VCU like it's something different because VCU is recruiting at a different level.
Well, VCU is a top 15, top 20 program.
Terry
for the last
Larry
5, 6
was
years.
There. Like everyone wanted Terry. So yeah, VCU is a different. Like that he's a good recruit. Jonathan Nwankwo. Jonathan Nwankwo was extremely raw. He was. He's got a big body. He's not like Bakari in terms of like what their size, because I think Jonathan was stronger.
Right.
Is stronger. I don't think he's quite as long, but he was said to be a really, really hard worker. Super raw skill wise. Extremely raw skill wise. The hurt is now you're going to have to find another center. Excuse me. The hurt is this year. You don't have much for center.
Right.
It's not a big problem in 2 years when you got Bakari and Reggie Lynch. Yeah. Dude, Reggie Lynch. We haven't had a chance to talk about Reggie, have we?
No, we haven't.
Dude, Reggie Lynch is my favorite damn player that the Gophers have recruited in
a
while.
He's thrill.
Dude, Reggie is going to – they're going to make Reggie Lynch shirts in the crowd. This dude has this sweet fro.
I hope he keeps the fro.
And he's the best – oh, he ain't getting rid of it. That is Reggie. He's got the sweetest fro, and he blocks shots. He's the best shot blocker in Minnesota I've seen since Joe Prisabella high school-wise. I'm not kidding you. He's that good.
That's a really nice – that's an impressive fro.
And yes, and he – you got it up there?
Yeah,
he's listed at 6'10", so is he really 6'6"?
Yeah, who knows? But it don't matter. You can't see through a fro.
It's a soft 6'7".
You can't see through the fro, but he blocks everything. He's like one of the nation's leaders in shot blockers. He also is one of the nation's leaders in fouls, so he only plays about 19 minutes a game. But Reggie is a great get for this program. He's not only a great shot blocker, he's a great transition starter, and he's a great character dude for the locker room.
This is a transfer from Illinois State. Illinois State.
He could have been he's a high major defensive player immediately. I remember watching Michigan – one of the Florida schools and somebody else walk into a gym in Orlando, Florida and look at him like, oh my gosh, I sat down and watched the rest of the game. But at that point, no one thought Reggie could get in. Illinois somehow got him in. He's been perfectly fine academically. He actually turned the corner at his senior year academically and just done it. He's been great academically.
Big old dude, man.
He's a great kid.
He looks intimidating.
That is why Nwankwo losing now isn't a big deal for the future. It's just a big deal this year because they have Gaston and Bakari.
But they're young anyway, and I think that, you know, this year was kind of going to be a rebuilding year anyway.
So I don't know if that's that big of a loss.
I think Fear the Fro is kind of a cool – that's going to be a cool T-shirt.
I don't know that – not only I don't think it's that big of a loss, I think it's a gain because now I get to get two more kids to look at in 2016.
Well, you know, anytime a kid doesn't make
sorry, John.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to say it's a big benefit.
But it kind of was.
All right, so we're going to wrap things up in just a couple of minutes, get to our finals picks. And some basketball to watch in June, whatever else we're doing this summer. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Andrew Wiggins, I was impressed no end by his shooting and his high difficulty of shots. And his aggressiveness toward the rim stunned me.
The most impressive thing about Andrew Wiggins was his aggressiveness and willingness to get to the free throw line. My shot's not falling. I'm having trouble getting in the post. I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to go get two free throws.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Something, a vein popped out. I didn't know I had it. Like, I had like three veins pop out. Like,
oh man,
hit the high note. All right, we'll finish off and do one more, okay?
You'll be hoarse like Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, next year. I don't know. I can't explain it. You know, we tried, you know. I mean, you know, it's not Blake's fault. It's not on Blake. It's on all of us. Doc, yeah, we all did.
Doc, can you sing happy birthday to my kid?
I'd like to sing happy birthday to your kid. That's all I can say.
Are you inhaling?
I'm inhaling and exhaling.
Doc Rivers has been hoarse since birth. He's like,
hi, mama. Hi, dad.
He got the best answers, though. He's always calm. You just lost everything.
I know. We did.
He's always on your side. You can't get him. I know. I don't know what to do. Just come back next year. It's not on Blake. It's not just Blake. I got to get my larynx fixed.
I thought that's how Ryan was going to sound here with his bronchitis, but he did pretty good.
I have. I'm on cough 47, though. You probably heard about 20 of them in the background.
Don't put it up, Blake. Don't put it up, Blake.
I love that. That was Jamie Foxx on The Tonight Show. Man.
Didn't Phil Jackson have that kind of voice, too?
No. Scotty.
I don't know. My favorite of all time is still Avery Johnson, as far as coach's voice.
Coach of Alabama.
He's set. Ryan James. That's how he talked to you. Hey, it's Ryan James.
We're
going
to go to the tournament 16 straight years, Ryan.
Ryan James. Marcus. We just got to get the ball down to Dream. I mean, we got to get it down to David and Timmy. Ryan James.
He's going to get recruited just because of his voice.
I mean, I'd go there for the voice. All right, so we've got quite a bit of basketball coming up. The finals begin June 4th. The WNBA season opens June 5th. And on that date, the Lynx will host Amanda Zowie B and the Tulsa Shock.
The
number two pick in the WNBA draft, Amanda Zowie B.
Congrats to her. You know, when she committed to the Gophers, you know, no one knew much about her, and she had to sit out a year. And in 2 years to be the number two pick in the draft, I mean, just amazing run for her. You know, where the Gophers program is going to go without a player of that caliber next year, I mean, that's a huge loss. But to see her.
We were geeked.
Yeah, definitely.
To see what was going to happen
like,
next
was
week.
Was it like
Banham returning?
Every other week, man, we had her as a your girl's killing it.
You had her as a girl. Your girl's killing it.
Deservedly so, man.
You renamed the segment.
She was putting up 35 and 29.
Amanda Zowie B is killing it.
Again, congrats to Zowie. And then coming back here for her first game, you know, to the Lynx. And I'm just, it's a shame that Janelle McCarville decided not to play this season for the Lynx. And
yeah, WTF.
Yeah, that would have been a pretty good matchup with the two best Gopher women's post players of all time. But, you know, I think the Gophers fans and the Minnesota fans will welcome her with open
arms.
She's
going to get such a huge round of applause.
You know,
she's
going to get a standing ovation. Lindsay Whalen's still there with the Lynx, so we got a lot of Gophers there in the WNBA opener. But, you know, back to the NBA playoffs.
We never got your finals picks. Well, now who's your pick?
I think all of us were going with the Warriors and the Cavs, right? I mean,
I think that series, that Rocket, there's still some juice to that Rocket series. Well, I mean, in juice one
it's
way or
not
the other.
Done.
No,
it's not done.
It's either going to go longer.
They came back 3-1 from Clippers, you know?
Or there's going to be a fight. It's one of the two.
Oh, that'd be exciting. Who's going to pop off and swing on somebody?
Someone will hit Dwight Howard because he's annoying. It could be Draymond Green. Draymond versus Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard go below the belt.
Who comes off the bench that would want to fight though?
Terrence Jones looks like a crazy dude, man. He always got that look in his eye, man, that he wants to do something. But
David Lee,
nobody ever messed with him.
David Lee might be like, "Hey, I got nothing going
He's
on.
Like, I just want to get on the floor."
Is he still on the team?
Barbosa might just run into somebody on accident,
like Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get serious then. Who's winning? I mean, Do the Dubs have a chance at taking down LeBron?
Please, man. I hope they do. You know, the Bay Area, that's my second home. I went to San Jose State. You know, I'm proud of it. That's right. But, you know, I think Steph Curry, the way he's playing right now, I do think that he is going to go on a shooting spell here. But, you know, they'll win the series and he'll be back for the finals. And can you imagine the tension that, you know, Curry versus LeBron? I mean, I think that will be, to me, a better series than Houston versus Cavs. I mean, I think if it was Houston Cavs, they'll get swept.
Well, it's a one-on-one matchup, I think, would
they'll
be more curious if it was Harden versus...
No, but it's not... To me, it's the personality. To me, it's
I see what you're saying. As far as just the complexion of the team.
Stephen Curry, you know, he's kind of the embodiment of, you know, what a lot of kids playing basketball are right now. I mean, you know, it used to be like highlight dunks and all. And it's still a lot of dunking, but, you know, kids want to out there shooting threes. They want to cross somebody over. They want to make him look bad. I mean, and to me, you know, he looks like he's 15 years old. So a lot of these kids feel like, hey, I could be a Steph Curry.
The other thing about, I love Steph Curry. The other thing about Steph Curry is like, he's like, I was a 3-star recruit. The only one high major team that offered me was Virginia Tech. So, you know, any 24-year-old and under can still think they can make the NBA because of it, even though he's running around with 5-star recruits all around.
And the two moms, you know, in the crowd. LeBron's mom and Steph Curry's mom.
Steph's mom is so fine.
NBA Finals. I could live with Rockets Cavs. I think that would be good. I think people enjoy that. We all think it's probably going to be Warriors Cavs. I'm cheering for the Cavs because I think that'd be great for the city. As a Cleveland Browns fan, I don't care about Cleveland. I just love my Browns. But I follow that Cleveland. They've never had anything. Those poor people. I think that'd be great for that city, especially after all the stuff that's happened. I'm cheering for Cleveland.
LeBron in the stratosphere too. Puts LeBron like
in the stratosphere.
Beyond the stratosphere.
Who's more important than LeBron in Ohio?
No, that's true. I mean, I don't think that necessarily puts him, you know, right up there with Michael Jordan.
Five straight finals appearances.
Bernie Kosar runs Cleveland now, but LeBron's taking over.
Bernie Kosar
was the biggest.
He went back to Cleveland to win a championship.
Or Major League.
He went back to Cleveland to win a championship, but not just one. I mean, I think that, to me, you know, what he has to accomplish, to me, at least a couple more. To get up to Kobe Bryant.
Dude, they weren't expected to be good enough
to replace Ricky Vaughn as the man in Cleveland.
Ricky Vaughn is the man.
You're telling me now,
Ricky Vaughn.
If he wins a championship this year, that puts him on the level of Michael Jordan.
Look, Mike is Mike.
No, Mike is on his own level. No one touches that.
No, but if he gets enough championships, if LeBron gets enough championships, that's a legitimate argument.
Nope. I mean, the accolades and the collection that he's putting together already with MVPs, finals appearances.
Let's just say
if he gets
as many championships as Kobe has,
it doesn't matter.
That's a fair argument.
Kobe, LeBron, do you know what they did that Mike didn't do? Mike never lost championships.
Yeah.
Mike don't lose titles.
Yeah,
they lose titles.
We're talking about Michael Jordan.
Back to the finals, though. I think the Warriors are beating the Cavs in six in the finals. That's what I think's happening.
Warriors over Cavs in six.
I think the Warriors are bringing
it. I think it'll go seven.
Seven? And I sit, and every time I watch one of those games with Mark Jackson calling, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, how do you feel?
Oh, he's so stung.
Maybe he's not.
But
I
think at the same time, you know,
Steve Kerr is the man.
He's
with
a guy.
Team.
You know, I'm sure he's a guy that a lot of people root for. You know, it's hard for Mark probably to hate on Steve Kerr. You know what I'm saying? But he's probably looking at, you know, the higher ups in Golden State, thinking, come on now. You know, I told everybody about Klay Thompson and Steph Curry.
You're right.
I told them that they were the best shooting backcourt of all time.
But you know what they're not? They didn't do before that they're doing now? They share the ball better now, and they play better defense than they did last year. And that's on you, Mark Jackson.
Well,
they've gained experience. They've gained some experience, though.
Sure, but he's the one that's...
He had an injured Bogut. Dre Green was not playing like he was.
Still. And who got him to play?
And who's the MVP this year? I don't know if you can say that he got Steph Curry to play that way this year.
I didn't say he said. I said Draymond Green.
Well, I still don't know because he was playing like that last year.
A coach who puts in systems and motivates dudes to defend.
I'm not going
to
discount
a big difference.
No, Curry's made a difference.
Yeah, he's made a difference.
I'm not going to deny that.
Their defense
a championship defense.
So you got this going seven. Who's your winner?
Oh, I'm going with Golden State.
You're going Golden State. Yeah.
I'm a LeBron hater. I got to go with Golden State.
You're a LeBron hater? No, you're not. You're a liar.
Wow.
Hell no.
Yeah, KG doesn't believe you. How are you going to be? Why? Because that's dumb.
Is it dumb? That he's back at Cleveland? Is that why we if he was still in Miami, everyone would still hate him.
Yep, because he should have never left Cleveland.
Exactly.
But now he's back. He mended his mistakes. We as a country, we look at people and we're like, you made a mistake. It's okay now. That's the way we are.
It's still tough for me.
At least you can root for him. Marcus doesn't even want to root for him now.
If he wins a championship, okay, then he'll win me over.
I'm a soft person, though.
If he wins a championship at Cleveland, he'll win me over.
Yes. Yeah?
Till that point.
I already wrote down for Ryan, D'Angelo Russell, 15 points a game as a rookie. So now I'm going to write you. He wins in Cleveland. I love LeBron. Sign Marcus Fuller.
Oh, man, that's tough.
will we ever see Kevin Love play another game in Cleveland?
I stopped hating on him. I didn't say I love him.
I'll scratch it out. Go ahead. What was that, Ryan?
Stop drinking the haterade.
Do we ever see Kevin Love play another game in Cleveland?
That's tough to say.
Does he go to L.A.?
I hope not.
Guy's got a Laker on his shoulder. He's like, no.
Yeah, dude.
Next year's front court for the Lakers, Kevin Love, Karl Towns.
Wow. You're just...
Julius Randle.
So Glenn Taylor's really...
I forgot about Julius Randle.
Yeah, Julius... I mean, that's... A couple of Kentucky guys wouldn't be such a bad look. But you're... So you really think Flip's going to go after... Go after Okafor.
Yeah, I think he's got his mind made up.
It sounded like that.
A lot of times the Wolves, they don't do much as far as, you know, like, you know, these workouts, these pre-draft workouts. They're doing is they'll bring in guys to see who they can fill in. you know, in the second round if they have some picks, but possibly bring in, you know, to their NBA Summer League roster. I mean, I don't feel like they base too much on it because, I mean, some years they had some guys come in there and shoot the lights out and dominate, and I'm like, well, what happened there?
The type of player that Flip's been talking about sounds all like Okafor.
Yeah.
At A Banks 82, Towns will he'll continue to grow offensively, has mid-range game, rebounds and defends. Okafor, no D. Terry Anderson at Nader79A says, great Okafor, great footwork down on the block, ability to draw double teams, helps everyone around him. That's a poll question today, is who is the number one pick? You can keep tweeting at us. It's at one and done 105. Spell out the one and done. Look for us on 105theticket.com. We're going to get around to podcasting. We will definitely be at the State Fair, so please come out and look for us at
NBA
the ticket
draft,
booth
baby.
Out there.
NBA draft.
Rob's going to be throwing stuff to you. We don't know if it's T-shirts or water bottles or candy, but Rob will be throwing stuff to you guys.
Yeah, that's because I'm trill, just like you.
The game of basketball is the game of basketball. The game of basketball is the game of basketball.
It's one and done on 105 The Ticket. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be back soonish, right?
NBA draft. That's all I got to say. Our mock draft.
Good luck,
we're
Wolves.
Doing it.
That was a hell of a birthday present for KG. That was a hell of a birthday present. All right, we appreciate you listening, and look for us at 105theticket.com. For Marcus Fuller and Ryan James, I'm Hardwood Rob. I can never say my name right. That's because people just call me Wood, to be honest with you. It's one and done on 105 The Ticket.
Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.